How many of your Bibles this morning? We do use our Bibles here. You're welcome to use it off your phone, but please don't check your text and all that good stuff that goes with that. Amen. You don't want to miss what God wants to do. Turn to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. I'm going to finish up this morning on the rain. Now, I shared last week when I prepared this message, I had no idea there was going to be a hurricane coming to the east coast there. I mean, when rain's out of balance or destructive, it causes great danger and damage. But rain that's done right at the right time really brings forth change. And even an abundance of rain that's done right or in the right time and position actually brings restoration. It removes debris out of the way. In Isaiah chapter 44, tell me when you found it. I'm going to start with verse 3. Isaiah 44, verse 3. It says, "For I will pour out what?" I mean, God's able to pour out. I've never seen the Lord be stingy when he gives. I said, I've never seen the Lord stingy when he gives. He pours out. When we were in the upper room in the beginning of the New Testament, did he just sprinkle them or did he pour it out? Is it possible that we limit what God wants to do in our lives? When he wants to pour and we just say, "Lord, fill my Dixie cup up, I'll be satisfied." How many want to have more than just a Dixie cup full? How many want to have like, "Lord, I want a tanker full"? Listen, in your prayer time, you can be endless in your prayer time. You want to build yourself up? Pray in the Holy Ghost. It says, "I will pour out my spirit on him who is what?" I'm going to pour the water out on him who is what? There's a key here to receiving more what God has, that you become thirsty. There's a lot of things today that the enemy wants to satisfy us in other ways. But taste and see that the Lord is good. Doesn't Scripture say, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself"? How many of those, that fulfills all the law and the prophets? Why is it that that area of loving God begins to wane when other things set in? This relationship you have with the Lord requires effort, cultivation, and a continual growth. When you first get saved, things are new and it's like, "Yeah, this is awesome. Yeah, yeah." But soon you begin to walk through that phase. And then maybe things just get normal. Don't let your relationship with the Lord get normal. Don't let it get normal. It needs to be above average and excellent daily. Are you with me? It says, "I'll pour out water upon who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground." Today more than ever, I see the ground is dry. I see it so dry today. And I see that sometimes when it comes to people in their servanthood or their growth in Scripture, that it's just dry. It's like there's enough. Now, when the ground is dry enough and you put the hose on it, you could sprinkle it for a couple minutes. But if it's so dry, it soaks up the moisture. And when sun comes out, it dries that instantly. I'm here to tell you, what you're going to receive this morning will not sustain you all week unless you cultivate it, unless you go over it, unless you keep that thing stirred up in you. You begin to look, because you have to feed yourself. You need to have your own time for the Word. And it's so easy today to get the Word in you, we don't have any excuses. Would you agree? Can you imagine if we lived in a country where you can't have a Bible? There are countries that have that. That you'd be killed if you have one. And then maybe there's one Bible for 25 people. And everybody huddles around it just to get a glimpse. I mean, as we have so much here in America. Amen. We are without excuse. But we become lazy in those things. I said we become lazy in those things. It says, "I'll pour out on the," I'll say, "and floods on the dry ground. I'll pour out my spirit upon your descendants and my blessing upon your offspring." We need this rain to come. In Scripture, it calls it the former and the latter rain. One brings the preparation for the harvest, makes the seed germinate. The second one brings forth the fullness of the harvest. When I used to farm, we counted on those rains. We counted it after we planted a seed. The seed was good for so long, and then we needed the rain to hit. And as soon as it did, it germinated. And at the end of the season, that rains that came, it matured it to the end. And generally, hear me on this. Generally, when the crop of like corn and soybeans, when they look useless, they look like they're dead and yellowed or brown, it's usually when the seed is the most mature. The more you die to the world, hello, the more that growth is in you. The less appealing you may seem so much in the flesh, the more the Holy Ghost is working in you. When things are just green and growing, it's like, oh, isn't that cute? How many of you are looking for the fruit on that? Now, at our house, we don't really have much of a garden. We're not much of a gardeners. But my wife had a pumpkin. She broke it open and had some seeds in there. And she had a little stack of them. She said, I'm going to plant these from the pumpkin to see if they'll grow. So she put those in the ground, and all of a sudden, it pushed up. Look at that thing. It's growing. Well, if you've ever seen a pumpkin patch grow, it's not like the leaves are this big and they vine out everywhere. They're huge. Well, we have a lot of little animals around our place, rabbits and squirrels and you name it. So I built this little pen around it so to keep the animals off. Well, the vines took up the thing, and believe me, there's this big old pile in there. Well, two little bitty pumpkins came forth in that. Isn't that cool? And then some squirrel took a bite of one, all right? But there's two. So the process of planting and reaping came alive. Every time we do something for the Lord, there's always fruit that remains. In Michigan, we may not have the drought, but if you've ever been out west before, it's a dust bowl when it blows in the wind, in the summer. It gets hot out there. Things aren't as green. Well, when it comes to the church, listen, we need to be satisfied with the Lord. But I've learned this. Lord, let me give out what I have so I can become thirsty to drink again. Amen. Let the process of that, because sometimes it's really nice to have that cup of cold water when you're real thirsty. When you've given out, you've expended that spiritual energy, as it were, but now you start to receive again. God says, I'll pour out my spirit upon your descendants. Today more than ever, our descendants, our families, our kids, our grandkids need a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost. More than ever, Lord God, I need you to flood that arena, flood that generation. Oh, it's kind of quiet today. Look at verse 5. I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 5. Now let's back up to verse 4. It says, I'll pour out my spirit upon your descendants and my blessing upon your offspring. They'll spring up like grass, like willows by the watercourses. For one will say, I'm of the Lord. Another will say, I'm of his own name. One will say, I'm of Jacob. Another will write on his hand, the Lord, the name by himself, the name of Israel. Some will say this, some will say that. But God says, you know what? You'll be called by my name. You'll spring up. Now, I've seen this as a true fact. I was out in Arizona for a time, and it was dry and dry and dry. And one of the remote times, a rainstorm was coming. And I was at this place, and I was at this guy's house, and he had rocks here, and he had rocks set up and kind of made it look like it looked good, but there was no grass there. He kind of did what he could, and I looked down the road there where his house was, and I could see it was turning dark. And it's like, man, rain's going to come. I got to see this. He goes, when it rains here, it'll come up quick and it'll pour. It'll saturate everything. He goes, behind up his house, he had this little ravine. He goes, this will become a torrent. There'll be a flood of water come by here in just a moment. And sure enough, it started to pour down rain. And I'm like, man, this is cool. I'm under his little porch area. And then sure enough, couple hours later, the water began to come off the mountain area, the big giant hills began to flood in the back. And everything that was in that ravine started to float with it. There was little little logs, there was you name it. And it was such a rushing thing. And then out in the field where it saturated over, he goes, you watch, by the time you leave here, plants will spring up out there. And sure enough, the seed that was in the ground, that maybe a bird dropped or this happened, all came alive for that brief moment. I've seen that in the church. I've seen God move in pockets. And all of a sudden, a whole new crop rises up. I've seen people get saved by a multitude at times. But soon, if it isn't nurtured, it dries up and withers. Are you with me? The church can't be satisfied with just new converts. Or us becoming, as it were, just spiritually full and just like, hey, we don't need anything else. We have to have that process that I'm thirsty and I'm drinking. I'm satisfied in Him. That process will continue to bring growth in you. Taste and see that the Lord is what? When's the last time that comes out of Christians' mouths? When's the last time it comes out that I'm totally satisfied with my Lord? I'm never leaving Him or forsaking Him. It's Jesus plus. It's Jesus plus. Well, you know what? The plus ends up being reduced to nothing. Now, I don't want anyone to ever go through what I went through this summer. But one thing it did is it takes you down to your very foundation. When you have to check your own immortality, it takes you down to there. When you really don't know if you're going to make it or not, it takes you down to there. It kind of helps put everything in perspective what needs to be. That many times we have all these great lavish things, but what do you really take with you? How many of you know that what you came in is what you leave with? But Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wants to finish the harvest. He wants a latter rain to come like never before. And when the rain falls, it falls on everything, the just and the unjust. For the believer, we should be excited about God pouring out His Spirit. We should be anticipating a mighty move. We should be speaking that in prayer. How many want to see your family saved? Then the church needs to be filled with the Spirit. We've got so comfortable with what we're doing that then there's a whole world that needs Him. Lord, let me be, enable me. Fill me, God. Strengthen me. Let me be that witness. I shared last week that I want to be so saturated that when I come in, it goes, ch, 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 ch. That whatever I meet, you know what, can be wet too. You can change the environment where you work by you being filled with the Spirit. Some of you work next to people that don't know Christ at all. What an awesome opportunity just to be a witness and an example. Say amen. And turn to Proverbs chapter 16. For this rain to come, listen to me, this latter rain, God's face, listen to me, needs to shine upon us. But we need to ask Him. It says, ask the Lord, and He will send you the former and the latter rain. You know what that means, intercessors? When we get together, we need to pray God a fresh outpouring. Yeah. Come on, we need to start agreeing with it. Yeah. Agree with what God wants to do in this area. In Proverbs 16, verse 15, it says, in the light of the king's face is life. His favor's like a cloud of the latter rain. Oh God, favor us, Lord. Favor us here at Lighthouse that we can be. Not that we're more special than anyone else, but I want God to move. Amen? I'm not satisfied with status quo. I want a fresh and filling. Lord, Your favor to be upon. I love it when I hear somebody reach out and talk to somebody about the Lord. Whether they come or not, I want them to come, but whether they come or not, here it's irrelevant. We're reaching out. We're making a difference. We're taking that area. If you're taking notes, in Zechariah 10, verse 1, it says, ask the Lord for rain. In the time of the latter rain, the Lord will make His clouds like this, flashing clouds. He will give showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. Outpouring of God's Spirit will benefit everyone, even those who don't know Him. I've seen God prosper to the place where businesses exceeded their quota because somebody godly was in their company. And I know this for a fact, God would bless your company because you're there. Well, that sounds awful bold or brash. Listen, God's going to meet every need. And if this is a seed source, He'll bless your seed source, even if those who are there don't even know Him. Say amen. How about pray for your company? Pray for your boss. I got a chance to witness to one of my bosses. I work for a secular company. I prayed, you know what? I told the boss, you know what? I'm going to pray for your company, that God prospers your company, that you're going to see increase. And he looked at me like, oh, that's nice. That was about it on a level of faith. Oh, that's nice. And you know what? By the end of that year, the company almost tripled in revenue. At the end of the year, the boss came to me, the owner, said, you know what? I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop doing that. Say amen. Amen. He's definitely benefited from it. But so did I. I received income from it. Yeah. Are you with me? Right. I shared with some of you at the end of the year, they used to give bonuses. Well, he would make this package. He'd give out, back then, alcohol. They'd wrap it up nice and neat and give it to the guys with a bonus. And he knew I didn't drink. I said, I don't want that. You keep that. Amen. Amen? Well, he would hand them out and he'd look at me. Oh, I know you don't want this. No, I don't want this. I just want God's blessing upon. I want to know him. And you know what? Every year God prospered. Can he do that today? Then, church, what are we here for? Why are we doing what we're doing? Is it for his glory or just because we're comfortable? Are we satisfied here or do we want more? I ask you, are you satisfied or do you want more? When I look at it today, God, I want more. I want to see you pour. I want the harvest to complete. The former rain softened the soil for the seed to be sown. The latter rain brings forth the harvest. It's like an instantaneous thing. When it begins to pour out, be ready. But hear me on this. You have to be ready for the harvest. Church, we need to have the combines ready. The tractors ready. The trucks ready. We need to be ready when it's time to go that we don't hesitate and wait. When I used to farm, there was a farmer not too far away from us that had a field, and we always watched when people started taking their crops out. Well, this particular farmer, he was really late, and we really got concerned, like, man, is there something wrong with him, or, you know, does his equipment break down? During that time, if your equipment breaks down and you have a relationship, you'll help out another farmer. Because all that matters is getting the harvest in. That's all that matters. That's what you're waiting for. What are we waiting for? Isn't that what we're about, seeing people get saved? Yes or no? Then we have to look at it and say, that's what matters. I'm already in the harvest. I'm already saved. There are others that need to come in. Well, this particular farmer, it's like, man, it got late and it got late. And there was an early snow that year and his crop is still out in the field. So I'm going to ask you, I go, look, do you need something? He goes, nah. He goes, I just been lazy. I know I need to do it. Can I say this to you? That's the last thing you want to say, is I'm lazy and I ain't got around to it. Well, it came early winter and then it became a thaw. You know how sometimes we get a little bit of cold and it warms up again? Well, he tried to get it just after that brief snowfall. And he buried all his equipment out there. He destroyed almost half his crop because now the ground was too soft. Let's not delay in what God wants to do either. When the latter rain comes, listen to me, we need to be ready to receive it. Not dilly-dally around, not just say, hey, I'll let somebody else do it. We all have a part in this. Do you agree with that? It's kind of quiet this morning. We have a responsibility to the Lord. As your pastor, I can say this, we have a responsibility. All of us do in the midst of this. If you're taking notes in Joel 2, 23 and 24, he says, I've given you faithfully rain and caused it to fall upon you, the former rain and the latter rain. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat and your vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. The Lord's saying, I'll be faithful in my part. Please do yours. How many want your vats, as it were, overflowing? The oil never running out. This harvest will affect every single family for the good. Sometimes we look at persecution as being a bad thing. It's probably the best thing that could happen to the church. It gets us off this and gets us moving along. If somebody said to you, you can't go to church anymore, how many are going, I'm going? Honestly, Or we would just cower down and say, okay, they said I can't go, so I won't. No, you'd get up and go. No one's going to tell you that. You're going to do it. Why? Because it's in you. But what if that favorite television program's on? Oh, man. How many knows that we can leave a whole lot being not even at arena? Well, I'd like to, but I got to go do this. What do you got to do that's more important than serving your God? Okay, wait a minute. Pastor's going to be nice again. When the latter rain comes, it brings forth a mighty move of His Holy Spirit. Like never before, He'll remove those armies that have been arrayed against you. He'll drive out those areas. But barren and the thirsty land will change. If you're taking notes, in Joel 2, 20 through 29, and verse 32, it all talks about this former and latter rain. For your homework, I want you to look that stuff up. It talks about don't be afraid of the beasts of the field. Don't be afraid of those things out there. Don't be afraid that your figs will give up too early or it'll be barren. The church will benefit like never before when we work with the Lord. I want to work with the Lord. Today more than ever, this is not a popular thing. That we need to be about our Father's business. Every single one of us. Your world, I don't invade. You invade your own world. I have mine. We come together. We get strengthened. We get encouraged. But we have to step out. Can I get an amen? Amen. All of us in here. There are times that we've seen things chew on our harvest. How many agree with that? Now, in my house, where I live, we have these groundhogs. In fact, we got some here at the church, too. And this one pesky rodent, best way I can describe him, I filled in his hole. He found a way to burrow under my shed. And when they dig a hole, it's no little bitty hole. It's a body hole. And it's like, man, so I saw him, and he got smart. The area he was digging, I saw him when I looked out the window. He decided, I'm going to give that one up. So he started digging on the backside. How do they know that? I don't know. So, I'm going to fix you. I mean, sometimes you got to take dominion over it. Oh, they're so cute. Just leave them alone. No, man, I'm going to take dominion over the thing. So I begin to do stuff to his hole and take care of him. And you know what? For a while there, I got him to stay away. I lined up some nice patio bricks around the side so there was no way to dig. So what does he start to do? He chews on the siding. Can you believe it? I got a hole that big in the back of my shed where he's chewed the wood off to dig underneath the hole. Oh, talk about in the name of Jesus. Amen? I don't mind you living in the neighborhood. But you ain't paying rent in my house, and you're not chewing up my shed. I had this nice cedar lining all the way around, trimmed, nice, cut, angled, rough sawn cedar. It was beautiful. Now it's got a big old hole in it. Amen? How many think sometimes it's come out and praise the Lord? That's another sermon, all right? But that's how I felt. The truth is that there are times you have to deal with stuff. It's even in the church. You could have the greatest church ever, and something starts to eat on the harvest. The locust there. This is there. Mice are there. They'll get in. The Bible says, listen to me, even in the best church, wolves will try to come in unaware. But we should be mindful of it. I'm learning that, you know what? God will take care of it, but we'll be mindful of this. Amen? At the end of the year, once we took all the seed out of these, we had these big old grain silos. If you didn't shovel the whole end out when it's done, that would mold over the winter. And if you didn't get it all out, when you dumped new seed upon that, it would mold because of what's there. So at the end of the year, you had to make sure, because the auger would take a lot of it, but some of it you had to get out yourself. So due diligence was sometimes if things are moldy in the church and it's leftover moldy, sooner or later it'll mold something else. All of us need to make sure that we don't become moldy. Amen? Amen? Well, this one particular silo, I was in there, and I was scraping it out. We had these big scoop shovels, and I saw this mouse. He was like as happy as he could be. He was well fed. Nobody messed with his stuff, and that's like it's me and him in this thing. And we're going to have a duel. He can't get out, and surely I'm not leaving. Amen? Now, isn't that so cute, a nice little mouse? Shouldn't you just pick him up and move him on out? How many knows he'll get into what you're doing again? It's just like mosquitoes. I don't know the total purpose of mosquitoes. Maybe it's to feed the birds. I don't know, but they're kind of a nuisance. So I'm chasing this mouse around, trying to smack him with the shovel. And you know what? That isn't as easy as it looks. I bet I tried 20 times, and I still didn't get the little guy. And he finally squeezed out where he needed to go. I'm like, well, maybe another time. The point is, Lord, I'm going to make sure I govern my harvest. And if I see something that's invaded, it doesn't need there, I'm going to go after it. How many of us, that's spiritually wise? Sometimes people open the door and don't even care about what comes in. We should. I said we should. Is this good? When favor begins to come, sometimes we pray that, Lord, give me favor. Then in the harvest comes the favor. I said in the harvest comes the favor. Now I want to make everyone take a look at this. The angelic host, God's angelic host, will help the church in the last days dealing with the harvest. That means we have a supernatural unction of the Holy Spirit. They will take care of things we don't even know to look for. Even things in the demonic realm that come up against us. There are even arrayed here today. And the Father, he dictates the harvest. So he's looking for servants to stand in that gap. That heaven and earth come together for souls to be saved. For people to be changed. And we need to be about it. Amen. I can't do it alone and neither can you. Then we all going to have our part. And we'll all rejoice one day. Now, I'll pick soybeans. They're a little bitty seed, probably about maybe the size of your, not even quite the size of your finger. But when soybeans come in, they go through this auger. It's got these little cutters that move. It's got this wheel that brings it in. And then from there, there's a conveyor. What happens is it shakes it down. The seeds go in one area, and it shucks out all the other junk out. Chaff blows out the back. Well, it fills up this giant hopper right behind the driver. And when it gets full, the driver has a mirror he can see, and we have a little gauge on there that tells how high it goes. Well, there's an auger attachment that comes off the side. Well, there's two ways to leave. There's a tractor. You can pull a wagon behind it, like a big old hopper, or it can go right into a truck. See, when it gets full, you either have to stop or you have to get rid of what you have. Oh, you're hearing the word here. So that means instantly somebody else has to be ready to go. So all of a sudden another thing pulls up. You may be that vehicle. You may be that driver. I don't know all your roles, but it takes all of us. Then we'd hit these switches. The auger would start. It would start to shuck. And believe me, it would come out like this, a jet stream filling up that area. And that you would watch to make sure you didn't overflow it. Because seed that hits the ground, listen to me, is ruined. You don't have the time to sift through all the dirt because once it gets that moisture on it, it gets dirty and believe me, it's almost worthless. So you got to fill it a certain level, then that one leaves. We used to have truck upon truck, one after another. And they would pull up and everybody knew their part. Listen, the harvest is so sensitive. We need to be mature in this thing. We just can't think we'll do it any time. That's why I struggle when I see new pastors that have never pastored or even lived long enough to pastor. Because you'll end up destroying the harvest because you don't know how to act in the middle of it. It takes somebody skilled and somebody to watch. Some of you have been saints for a long time. That needs to be invested in the church, invested in people. Don't keep what you have to yourself. Use it. Is this good this morning? And then when it was full, well, there's one particular job that I was there. I had to drive the truck to the grain silo where they had these super, they're probably 50, 60, 70 feet high. Well, I have a whole truckload of grain. I'd pull up. You'd have to back in. Certain ones would take the whole truck, and certain ones you had to dump the box. Well, you had to line up. Some of these older ones, you had to be just right because they open up this giant pit, and everything funneled in, and then the truck dumped. Well, at that point, it's the most sensitive because could you imagine making it to the mill and then you just spill it all over the ground? Wouldn't that be a bad thing? I remember backing up, looking at it, looking at where the hole is, looking at where the dump is. Okay, it's going to dump this far. Everybody was busy that day. The guy says, just dump it in that giant pit. We have a measuring thing. We'll weigh it out for you. And I'm thinking, man, I don't want to mess this up. So I backed the truck up and I looked, okay, that looks about right. Man, I pulled it up a little farther, inched it forward. I got out, that looks, it probably took me a half hour to make sure I got it perfect because I didn't want to mess this up. Then I moved the lever, had a PTO shaft. All of a sudden, the cylinders began to come up and I'm watching outside. Okay. Oh, dumped it all. It's perfect. That's how we'll feel when we do it right. We'll sweat it while we're doing it. Maybe I don't know everything in the midst of this, but when it's finally dumped, you'll like it. The church will benefit. Our vats will be full. We will run over. All of us will have a part. Whether you planted it, whether you cultivated it, whether you gathered it up, whether you drove the truck, whatever part you had in it, you have a part in it. Every single person. Amen? Let me back up as I close with this. Back to the farmer who said, I'll get to it. We saw him out in the field when he started to pull that. His equipment sank so bad it was up to the axles with duals on it. You don't do it with duals. You run over too much crop, but he had it with duals on. Then he had another tractor in front of it trying to pull this one out, and both of them were making ruts. And we're talking ruts this deep. And every time he went down a row, he ended up only getting one hopper out of all his field. He lost so much money that almost bankrupt him. And every farmer that was in the area knew what was going to happen. Let's not be that church. There are a lot of churches that are spiritually bankrupt today. Let's not be that church. Let's be overflowing. Amen? And God will give us the increase. Do you enjoy this morning? How many want to pray? Lord, send the rain. Send it, Lord. And how about this? Lord, send me. Let me be bold. Lord, send me. Let me be have my natural personality, but let me be bold. Can we do that, church? Did you enjoy this morning? This is something we have to apply. I want to be a part of the greatest move ever. Father, I thank you for this time.